Are you feeling the pressure yet? Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principle Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Barry, this stuff about using pseudoscience to diagnose mental illness, this is kind of fun. Are we going to do some more today?
We are definitely going to do some more today. If you were with us yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, we told you that found out from a professor, if you deny that climate change, i.e. global warming, is all man-made, then there must be something wrong with you. It's an aberrant sociological behavior, i.e. you're a sociopath, and you must be observed and treated because you're sick. Well, if that wasn't enough for you and you've come back for more punishment today, we've got some more for you because, again, Chuck and I scan the world to find out what's going on and how people are thinking, and it's getting pretty interesting out there, Chuck. There seems to be bigger and bigger drumbeats against those who hold to traditional, biblically-centered worldviews, who are conservative. And as a matter of fact, that's what we're going to be talking about today because I'm guessing that probably the vast majority of our listening audience would self-identify as being conservative to some point, maybe even libertarian in some ways, but that means they really just can't think. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. If you hold to conservative beliefs, you can't think. Because according to an article called "Is Conservatism Our Default Ideology?", new research provides evidence that when under time pressure or otherwise cognitively impaired, people are more likely to express conservative views. Now, Chuck, I like that phrasing, cognitively impaired. Yeah,
so while we're thinking, while we're deeply thinking about other things, like making a living to feed our families, or paying bills, or making sure that we're doing the best job we can do at work, we're cognitively impaired. This is probably the silliest thing I've ever heard in my life. Yes, if we're thinking about politics while we're doing our job, then yeah, okay, that means we're not thinking about our job. This is a self-fulfilling prophecy, Barry. They're basically saying that while you're thinking about other things, you're not thinking straight about politics. Well, while you're thinking about other things, you probably aren't thinking about politics at all. Now, people would accuse me of being, I can assure you that people at my church are absolutely convinced that the only thing I ever think about is politics. Guess what? I own a business. When I'm doing my business, I'm pretty much 100% committed to the thing I'm thinking about, and that has nothing to do with what we're doing today.
Yes, that's right. It does not. But it is something that is part of your mental wheelhouse, let's put it that way.
That's exactly right. Yes, I have that packed away in a compartment, and I get it out of that compartment when it's time to think about it. When I'm doing an analysis on a silly article in a pseudo-journalistic website, and I have no idea what Miller McCune is. Smart Journalism, Real Solutions.
Well, the webpage that we got this from Miller McCune, is actually, it's kind of an aggregation engine for different types of issues. They handle a lot of media.
Yeah.
And they have an article in here by Tom Jacobs, who talks about the fact that there's a study that has just been published, led by the research team at the University of Arkansas under psychologist Scott Eidelman. And their argument is that conservatism, which the research identify as, quote, an emphasis on personal responsibility, acceptance of hierarchy, and a preference for the status quo, unquote, may be our default ideology. And they say if we don't have the time or energy to give a matter sufficient thought, we tend to accept the conservative argument. Well, Chuck, you know, this is very interesting because, okay, first of all, our tax dollars are probably paying for these researchers to sit around and play with this, to basically come up with this research methodology, which basically says when effortful, deliberate responding is disrupted or disengaged, thought processes become quick and efficient. These conditions promote conservative ideology. Now, they wrote this in the bulletin Personality and Social Psychology Bulletin, which is a professional journal. But, Chuck, I think it's interesting because saying that if you read into this with what they're saying, they're trying to make it out that conservatism means you don't think and that you're just knee-jerking back to it.
Okay, let's go back and apply a little logic to the statement that you made.
However, if you start thinking about it in terms of quick, efficient, yes.
No, but let's go back to an emphasis on personal responsibility, all right? Okay,
right, exactly.
So if we're thinking clearly and unobstructed, then suddenly our emphasis is on personal irresponsibility?
Well, we don't have to be bound by those constructs. If we can think, if you can think creatively through it, you can figure out how to blame somebody else, Chuck.
Yeah, there you go.
Isn't that the core of our victim mentality culture we have now?
Or acceptance of hierarchy. Okay, well, that means that we get to chip away at societal structures if we're thinking clearly.
Right. If we're thinking clearly, we'll all be good anarchists.
And a preference for the status quo. Well, I can tell you as an arch-conservative in the biblical fashion.
Exactly.
True conservative, a constitutional biblical thinker. Or pardon me, I have those reversed. A biblical constitutional thinker.
Yeah, very good.
That I want nothing to do with the status quo. I want to push everything that I can into a biblical framework.
Which is a higher order framework.
That's right. That is not the status quo.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think it's interesting because the article, the author of the article basically says that psychologist Eidelman's paper is going to outrage many on the left who are going to resist the notion of conservatism as somehow natural. See, I think without meaning to, he gets at it. The fact that people revert to conservatism is because, as we know from Scripture, the law is written on our hearts, Chuck. And so that no man is without excuse. And when we go back to basic ideas of personal responsibility, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, that we get into that whole idea of hierarchy, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me, honor thy mother and thy father, that it may be well with thee, and your days will be long upon this earth. Those are things to not covet against our neighbor and his possessions and his wife, etc. Those are all hierarchical structures that we, because we're made in the image of God, after his like, and have the law written on our heart. That's why it's natural to come back to that. It's only when you sit there and you have all of this extra time on your hands to sit and, well, let's say play God, and sit there and say, okay, let me see how I can build this tower so that I can reach up to the heavens myself.
Yeah, bingo.
That personal responsibility somehow becomes somebody else's fault. That hierarchy means, okay, I'm the highest there is, and so everybody needs to kowtow to me. And that a preference for the status quo means as those first two are working my way, then I'm happy with the status quo. But since the status quo means that we have to live in society, that we have to look out for others, especially those less fortunate, because the Bible commands us to do that. That's right. We have to be under authority because we're under the authority of God, and then we're, you know, in the family, you're under the authority of the Father, the church, we're under authority of the elders, and in civil society, we're under the authority of the ministers of God, as Romans 13 says. To be a liberal and who wants to reject God and wants to rebel. All of those structures lead back to the fact that there's an ultimate authority that's higher than man.
Barry, this is a grab bag of self-contradictory claptrap.
I think you're right in that.
You just named one of them. I'm going to give you another one from the article. This is a quote from the researchers. We do not assert that conservatives fail to engage in effortful, deliberate thought, they insist. We find that when effortful thought is disengaged, the first step people take tends to be in a conservative direction. Disengaged from what?
Yeah, exactly. That is left very vague.
That is a way of saying that conservatives are off in space thinking about apparently pineapples and grapefruit. And that is probably the most meaningless sentence that we've read in quite a while on this show. Now, I would nominate this for one of the most meaningless, high-sounding and meaningless phrases that we have probably used on this program. And believe me, we've run into a lot of it.
Yes, we have. Now, I think there's...
Yesterday's show was another fine example of meaningless, drivelous claptrap. And
but not from our end of the equation.
No, definitely not. But you see, I get what you're saying, and I think you see what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
None of this makes any sense. Really. It's all high sounding, and I'm sure there were thousands of dollars put in there, and these guys all... are being, taken around and wined and dined by the powers that be because they've come up with this brilliant study that really doesn't say anything. What it's basically saying is that people who have time on their hands think about how to steal other people's money, and people that are busy are conservative. Well, you think?
Well, Chuck, I think it's interesting because when you dig into the methodology of this particular study, you find out something interesting. They had four different test groups. The first test group were people who were coming out of a bar who had been drinking, okay? And they provided a breathalyzer test, a blood alcohol level test, if they fill out a survey. And they got 85 respondents, and there were 10 statements such as production and trade should be free of government interference. And they say that bar patrons reported more conservative attitudes as their level of alcohol intoxication increased. Well, Chuck, that's interesting because if you're drunk and somebody hands you a paper and you say yes or no, probably the default's going to be say yes to everything. So it really depends on how the survey was written as to exactly what kind of responses they got. Now, the second one was 38 University of Maine undergraduates, okay? And they split them up and had 19 on one side, 19 on the other. Half of them filled out this while working on a distraction task that required them to listen closely to a tape of tones that varied in pitch. So in other words, okay, Chuck, while you are busy getting your root canal, can you please recite the Gettysburg Address? That's really what this one boiled down to. Third experiment, people were put under time pressure and said that when they were under time pressure, they endorsed conservative viewpoints, and those were not. But they didn't explain how they put them under time pressure. And the fourth, it basically said, give your first immediate response, and said that the participants were more likely to express support for words and phrases linked to conservatism, such as law and order and authority, than those who were instructed to, quote, really put forth effort and consider the issue. Okay, well,
that's right.
But the point is,
anyone who's thinking about it wants anarchy and disorder, yeah, obviously.
But see, that's the whole key, Chuck. What they left out is the folks who gave their first responses, possibly because they have already in their own minds worked out the pros and cons of these various issues and realized either through experience or through evidence that they have seen that the conservative mode, law and order, and authority work much better than the opposite, you know? So honestly, this study does really very little except to find out that number one of the four subgroups, three of them came out of the state of Maine and one of them came out of the state of Arkansas. So first of all, I don't think Maine is known for its conservatism to start with.
Yeah. It's a weird state in that particular area.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a libertarian, lefty, crunchy con. Yeah, it's a weird state. Although they did give us what, Olympia Snow, right?
They did.
Yeah.
And Susan Collins.
Susan Collins. Yeah.
But,
wow.
But the whole point is that the researchers say, well, largely our sample consisted of political centrists. So basically, what they're trying to say is that if you push people hard and don't give them time to think, then they're going to be conservatives. And so what they're really trying to do, Chuck, and honestly, you can read between the lines on this one. This is a political posturing. This is trying to say that anybody who comes up with a conservative response or conservative answer to a social or political problem, you're not thinking. And you're just trying to force the rest of us into a knee-jerk reaction so that you can have your way.
We're out of time, but I'm going to say conservative, liberal, and centrist by whose criteria?
By whose criteria, that's right. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to think deeply about this because I know when you join us again tomorrow, you're still going to be conservative just like we will.
Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.